We have week two of the NFL coming up very shortly. We've got Thursday night footy, which of course is Friday morning for us, 10 o'clock here. A man that's across it all, our mate at this program, RJ Ochoa from SB Nation, blogging the boys. He knows the NFL inside out. I'm going to have to raise his Cowboys, which are a bit of an issue. Anyway, he's on the line. G'day, RJ.
G'day, my friends. Great to be with you. The sun did rise on Monday morning in the Dallas-Fort Worth metropolis, contrary to popular belief.
Okay. Did it rise for Dak Prescott? You better give us an update on this thumb injury. I heard anywhere from 4 weeks to 8 weeks. What's the prognosis?
Well, you know, I'd say 99 out of 100 people believe it is going to be somewhere between the 6 to 8 week range. The one out of 100 is Dr. Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys owner, president, and general manager.
Yes.
And so I think, you know, 6 to 8 weeks is what every, you know, I'm not a doctor, but what every medical professional and national insider has reported. It also lines up best with the Cowboys from a football standpoint. That would allow Dak to be out through the bye. Obviously, the hope is the Cowboys are competitive at that point in time, and he can come back. The Cowboys' first game out of the bye is at Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers, slated to be Mike McCarthy's return, presuming he survives, which is matter of fact. But you know, is the tenor of the situation. You know, I would be stunned if Dak Prescott were to be back in 4 weeks, and even if he were. His first game back would be on the road against the Los Angeles Rams and Aaron Donald. It just there's no reason to tempt fate that way, at least in my opinion.
Okay, all right. Let's get to wider NFL news on the back of week one. What happened to Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos at Seattle, mate? That was chaos.
It was beautiful chaos, the kind that we often associate with the Seahawks. They're the team that is generally involved in games like that. And Nathaniel Hackett just, you know, they traded everything they could, paid all the money to Russell Wilson. And, you know, why not trust a kicker for a 64-yard field goal over that? It's perplexing. I mean, it really is. But, you know, we often focus on the moments like that, but I mean, they were kind of flat. I mean, they moved the ball well, the Broncos did, but they got stalled near the goal line, and I think that you have to be concerned about that. I think that this one was, you know, I'm not a believer in karma, but maybe karmic energy. Every Seahawks fan, Russell did help deliver a Super Bowl to the city, but outside of that, this is maybe the most important victory they've had in some time. I think that we've maybe underestimated the Seahawks just a tad. I'm somebody who thought that the love for Denver was a little bit out there, not because of Russell and any question about him, but because we don't know who Nathaniel Hackett is. This was his first game as a head coach, and we kind of saw some rookie moments on display.
Yeah, a little bit frantic. I think in the Manning cast, Peyton was calling for the timeout a lot earlier than Nathaniel, so always very interesting. Speaking of quarterbacks, what did you make of the San Francisco 49ers, Trey Lance? Conditions were tough, but that's put them, I know we're only week one, but there's a little bit of vulnerability about the 49ers now.
Well, the 49ers sometimes help me feel better about the Cowboys in that the vulnerability is self-induced, right? I mean, they chose to not play Trey Lance a year ago and therefore invite some questions about his capabilities. They chose to not trade or release Jimmy Garoppolo over the offseason. They chose to rework Jimmy Garoppolo's deal, ensuring that he would be a part of the team with a no-trade clause for this season at least. And so, I mean, I think it's unfair to Trey to say, well, the guy's done, the guy's a bust, whatever. To your point, there was a monsoon happening in Chicago, and so there's some necessary context. But, I mean, those questions are going to come out now. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is – you know, I think it's over simplifying to say he took them to the NFC Championship game or he took them to the Super Bowl. The 49ers haven't had the success that they've had in recent years off of the arm of Jimmy Garoppolo. But that resume exists nonetheless. It is objective data. And so I think the pressure is really on Trey Lance this week to really kind of show up. Incidentally, against the Seahawks, who are a team that have had the Niners number. The NFC West has that weird relationship where the Seahawks just play really well. And again, you know, depending on context and how it unfolds, if the Niners start off 0-2, I could see a lot of people saying, all right, this is enough. Let's get Jimmy back in here.
Okay. Was it a statement game by the Buffalo Bills doing really well against LA on that first Thursday night footy game? They're very short in the market for the Monday night footy game against the Tennessee Titans.
Man, I love the Bills. As you know, I've picked them to reach the Super Bowl, but lose it, obviously. I can't imagine a better start. And you said it. I mean, it wasn't a coronation by any means, but it was a this is why the hype is what it is sort of performance by the Bills. Josh Allen was amazing. It was one of those, you know, I know you're playing a lot of Madden, Jimmy, where you're like, I got to get my running back 100 yards. I got to get my receiver 100 yards. I got to get my quarterback 300 yards. I've got to get a turnover. They just kind of checked every box. And, yeah. And I think that they really showed how personally they took the offseason and not winning the Super Bowl. And so I'm very excited to see if that sort of energy transpires week to week.
Yeah, absolutely. Who was the most impressive of the teams that played? There's been a number of upsets early on, a number of quarterbacks who didn't have snaps in the preseason. But who was the most impressive winner for you? And conversely, RJ, who is the most under pressure?
Well, I think the most impressive, I could go chalk for me and say my Vikings, the team I do have winning the Super Bowl. That was so awesome to see, you know, my own personal validation, but obviously the Vikings have a lot of success. I think this is perhaps even more chalk. I think the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, I know you love your Lions and your odds. If you got Chiefs to win the division or Mahomes to win the MVP at any point over the last few months, I think you have to feel really great about yourself. The Chiefs look, I mean, look, they're missing Tyreek Hill, but they look like they addressed that. They planned for it. They prepared. And like, they're going to be the contender that we've known them to be in the Patrick Mahomes era. So I'd say the Chiefs were definitely the most impressive for me. As far as least impressive or most depressing, again, I think the Cowboys kind of run away with that. I think some people might say the Bengals just because of the Joe Burrow performance. But I do think the way they kind of scrapped it together was impressive. I know that we don't expect much of the Patriots, but that was just so flat. I mean, we didn't even see any real competitiveness from them. I mean, it's starting to feel like they're teetering into obscurity. You know, like they're just going to be the team who plays, you know, Sundays at noon every week, and they're just kind of back into NFL banishment. So I am concerned that the Patriots are just now one of 32 as opposed to being the one.
Yeah, all right. And going back to Minnesota against Green Bay and the performance of Aaron Rodgers, who's the defending MVP and, of course, is playing without his, you know, superstar wide receiver target in Devontae Adams. What did you make of that? And what did you make of it? It's sort of like the culmination of the preseason where I think every time Aaron stepped up to the podium, he was slagging off his rookie receivers.
Yeah, I mean, in Aaron's defense, he did hit Christian Watson, one of the team's rookie receivers, for what should have been a deep touchdown. And, you know, there's a drop. And that's, you know, that tends to happen less often when you have players like Devontae Adams in the fold. And so I don't by any means think Aaron Rodgers played poorly, but this is the bed that the Packers chose to lay in. And I think part of that does fall on Aaron Rodgers with all of the circus that he's created over the last 2 years, just on the field. I mean, obviously he's created quite the ruckus off of the field with some personal beliefs. But on the field, he made things very awkward, very tense, and kind of made them a bit of a pariah as a team. And so I think we're finally seeing some regression of the mean in combination with all those things. I mean, they've won 13 games each of the last 3 years, you know, or 2 years, excuse me. I mean, that just was not going to happen. You said reigning MVP. He's the two-time reigning MVP.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just cannot do it. It's so hard to do week in and week out, let alone year in and year out.
You mentioned Patty Mahomes. What did he have? 360 yards, 5 touchdowns. It's a great start to week two. He's up against Justin Herbert. Just the 279 yards and only 3 touchdowns for Justin. How do you see that game? And what's your best bet for the listeners over the course of week two?
So the Chargers are the team of NFL Twitter. People are in love with the Chargers.
Yeah.
People think the Chargers are the coolest, greatest things to ever come around. I think Thursday is a bit of a remind the world who these two teams are game. I'm super excited about it, and I would love, to be clear, a really competitive back-and-forth game. I mean, the Chargers are great, but the Chiefs are extremely great. They are the exception, and so I know the line is interesting. That's not my lock of the week by any means, but I'm definitely taking the Chiefs and definitely leaning in that direction. I'm curious, Jimmy, what your line is for the New Orleans Saints against the Buccaneers.
New Orleans Saints against the Buccaneers. We will get to that. Here we go. It is 3. So Buccaneers -3, Saints +3.
You know what? Give me the Saints. I feel very confident. You look, you know what, Jimmy? I don't want to be chalk. I don't want to go, oh, you know who I think is going to win is, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals over the Dallas Cowboys. No, like, we're here to, you know, put some hair on our chest.
Yes.
And so I really like the Saints against the Bucs. They notoriously have Tom Brady's number in Tampa Bay specifically. I think New Orleans was impressive with how they came back. Yes, they did dig themselves a little bit of a hole against Atlanta. And I also don't think, look, I'm super down on the Cowboys, as you well know. And they kind of hung in that game with the Bucs. So I don't know what to expect of Tampa Bay on the whole this season. So I really like New Orleans, all things considered.
All right, there we go. The plus three is into $1.81. You can have $2.20. The same. Would you contemplate that head-to-head, $2.20?
You know what, Jimmy? I'm down. Let's live. Like I said, let's you know, who knows what tomorrow brings. Let's live it all today.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to do half a staking plan for the plus three and half your staking plan for the head-to-head at $2.20. RJ, better luck for your – actually, no luck. Better performance from your Cowboys, and we look forward to chatting next week.
Looking forward to it, but I really doubt it from Dallas.
RJ Ochoa there. He's a great fella, and you can check out all of his work at SB Nation, blogging the boys. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.